It's DJ Anita B here, and you're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast. I'm taking over this episode. That's right. I've got lots of music for you. And in addition to that, Travis and Steven interview drag sensation Erica Clash. But first, here's Dumb Blonde with Remember Me.
Do you remember when I fell for your pull? Remember when you fell for me too? Now it's hard to recognize your whole like the stranger in my room.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are committed to bringing you eclectic guests week after week, and in doing so, we hope to share knowledge of things that they've learned in their career paths so that you can maybe take it with you and apply it to your own career endeavors. And today we have somebody very exciting, very different. I had to apologize to her because we were messaging months and months ago to get her on here, and it just took us way too long. And finally, we were able to make our schedules work. Ladies and gentlemen, forgive me if I'm not saying it correctly. Gamer, help me out. Gamer,
princess
anime
clown.
Gamer, princess, anime clown, Erica Clash.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to House of Mimosa, the podcast.
That's right, yes.
So, your real name is Mickey.
Yes.
And we're excited to have you. I know I've said it a lot, so
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having
me. We just get finished doing our show.
Yes.
Here at brunch.
Yes.
Our brunch show. Let me quickly take my shot of Cafe Patron.
Here we go.
Cheers, cheers,
and cheers, mimosa. Cheers, cheers.
And
yes.
Your mimosa. I love that you have that. Okay, give me a second. Calm my nerves. Gonna calm my nerves.
Ooh.
All right. It's, Erica, it's so effing hot.
In this city. Everyone's going through it with the heat, and I'm fine. I actually don't bother.
Because you're like a toothpick.
Well, you're a toothpick, and you're originally born in Miami,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So you like the heat.
I do.
No, I can't.
Do.
I
prefer the heat as well.
My
boyfriend and I went to Miami in April, and he's German, so he's like sunburned and like going through it, and I'm fine. I'm just like,
Yeah, living
this is
your
all
life
good for
in
me.
The heat.
You're like, I'm
not
loving
me.
This tan.
I can't. It's like the number one topic on our podcast is
how
I am
hot
all the
is.
Fucking time.
You and that girl on YouTube
oh,
with the frigid
you,
bitch.
We got,
heat
can we
setting.
Post that link?
The Power Ranger. She's like, oh, that's on turbo. What do I have to put this bitch
Power
on? Power
Ranger.
Ranger.
It is too damn hot.
Shit.
What are you barbecuing? If you haven't seen this YouTube video, we'll post the link in the description. It's hysterical. Okay. So, Erica Clash, you're newish to the drag scene.
Yes. A year and 4 months.
A year and four months.
Oh.
To the day? Are we that close?
No. I think it was...
Do you even know?
What's today's
oh
date? What's today's date?
The 19th.
Oh, yesterday was a year and 4 months then.
Uh-huh.
It's the 18th, March 18th.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I'm excited to talk to a newer queen because for the most part, we've had girls that have been doing it for
a while. In the scene for
a while.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to talk to you about your take on what it's like to start now, here in New York City. We started,
oh my god, I know.
Almost 10 years ago now.
Almost 10 years ago, but we started as a podcast, and it happened.
Turned into our live show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so curious to hear what it's like to start now, 10 years. Oh my god, Erica was a baby when we started.
I was 12.
I can't.
Oh my god.
I can't.
You
and Bible Girl, we had Bible Girl on. You both put through it.
Putting us through it, yeah.
I can't. When she told me that Britney Spears is her Madonna, I was like, oh.
I felt like her father.
I was like,
oh my god, I couldn't have a child.
I can't.
Your age, possibly.
I know. Mm. All right, so what started you doing drag?
So basically, I went to see Battle of the Seasons. It was during season 5 of Drag Race. And Alaska and Mimi in particular, like, blew me away. And I was thinking that, like, I was like, oh, God, I have to do this. I have to do this someday. I turned 21. I went to Lips for the first time. And then that was the start of it. I was like, okay, well, now I actually can do it. So let's give it a shot. And it just sort of snowballed. I just sort of decided that I was going to do it.
Now, I love your aesthetic because it's based on, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a gamer myself, but it's based on, like, Nintendo characters?
Yeah, so it's video games, anime, and
I
also
need you to explain for me.
So video games.
Oh, video. I thought you said Fido. I'm like, what is Fido games?
Fido games. Oh, that's the new thing. So video games. Video games, anime, and the sort of kawaii Harajuku fashion sense.
Yes.
Okay.
So I do drag cosplay looks of different video game anime characters. I do lots of those kawaii looks. Now I've just started doing this gamer makeup series, so not
which
necessarily
I think
a full
is so
cosplay.
Cool. Did I see you do
I did.
Gremlins?
I did. So, no. It was,
see,
a lot of people
thought
it was... A lot of people said lots of different things. But it's a very obscure video game. It's called Bubble Bobble.
Okay.
So, it's these little dragons that they attack with these by blowing these bubbles at enemies.
Wait, I think...
Oh,
was there a version in the 80s?
Yeah. So, it was on the Amiga.
Okay, and they're like blocks
on the,
or
something? On the NES.
Oh, my God.
So, I did the green dragon from that... The green dinosaur from that game. That was for the Miss Abracadabra finale.
And I know that...
And then for the prelims, I did Majora's Mask from Legend of Zelda. So, I've kind of... turning a corner where I don't want to necessarily do full cosplays or, like, you can't really do a full cosplay of Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but I'm just going to agree with
but
you.
But so it's not necessarily a full cosplay, but I can maybe pair something, wear something that goes with the
you
makeup
look. You can kind
look.
Of resemble what that would look like in drag form.
Right. So I can pull a stunt makeup look, wear something, a simple dress or something that kind of complements it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be a full cosplay because
I
wouldn't necessarily want to do a big green dinosaur costume or have the meme needs to right now.
Yeah,
I understand.
So it's a way of just being able to pull more looks out and just
gotcha.
Just do some stunt, challenging myself with
Are
makeup.
There a lot of queens right now doing cosplay stuff? I know that we've seen
Fifi
O'Hara do some stuff.
I'm really loving
Who's
her
flawless.
New. She's great.
Yeah.
She does like a much broader range of cosplays. She's done like superheroes and stuff. I stick to video games, anime, and the kind of
yes.
kawaii style.
Now,
so I have
people...
a signature style outside of the cosplays,
yeah.
but the cosplays, it's just so much fun because I get to tease them on Facebook,
right.
and I love getting all the materials together and all that.
People, when they know what it is, must freak out.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't, but that's fine because
yeah.
I still try to paint with clean lines
mm-hmm.
and pad cinch. I try to give everything everyone that they'd expect.
Well, that's
from a
more
drag
than
Steven queen.
Does. So you're already
oh,
out of
oh,
the gate.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Dark sided. Yeah. I try to be specific, but also provide everything that people are looking for out of a drag queen, out of a drag show.
Mm-hmm.
So you see Mimi and Alaska, and you're like, I can do this.
Yeah,
so
Mimi did this amazing 9-minute mix. Alaska did. Mariah Carey's Hero, but
mm-hmm.
she like put in monster noises into it.
Okay.
And they were both so well thought out, well constructed numbers, and that just blew me away. So that's really there.
So when you put your first performance together, what were you going for? Where was it?
So my first performance was at Boots and Saddle. Yuha Hamasaki was doing a competition on Tuesdays at the time. And I had just kind of stumbled in there on Valentine's Day and it was like, I really want to perform. They said, okay, well, message this person. And so I did Poison Ivy. It was like
oh.
a 6.5-minute mix.
Uh-huh.
Poison Ivy. Because
bitches
did,
love an intro.
Oh.
I came on with this black gorilla fabric. Because you know how she, in the movie, she has that big, huge gorilla suit.
Uh-huh.
And then I just revealed.
And then it reveals
and then,
the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that was so much. There was so much fish going on.
Oh,
at that time.
Oh.
And where did you learn your makeup skills?
Most of it trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
I was
yes.
also on Tumblr's Drag Race.
Yes.
In September,
which is shady, girl.
Oh my god, tell me about
the internet,
it.
Can you just not? It's so shady. Like
so, Tumblr's Drag Race. For those who don't know, is sort of an online drag competition on Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And there have since been all these kind of splinter competitions. Like
uh-huh.
there's a Facebook one, there's an Instagram one.
Oh, uh-huh.
But Tumblr is every week you get a challenge. It's just like almost like RuPaul's Drag Race. You get a
oh,
mini challenge, main challenge. And so in addition to it being competition, it's also about more experienced queens kind of teaching younger
oh,
queens
cool.
what they can
so it's
tweak
so,
or what
right.
they
so
can
it's
do
critique,
better.
So it's an emphasis on critiques.
Yeah, but...
So every week... So, ooh. It was real messy when I got onto Tumblr Drag Race.
Us too,
girl.
Yeah.
When
we started, it was not okay. But, when we started, it wasn't about our look so much. It was
right.
more about the content.
Comedy and
totally.
Singing
but
live. And...
Over the last year and a half, I've gotten really into the makeup thing. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
all right.
Yeah,
oh, so
it's a beautiful thing.
It is
line.
A beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. And it's a really fine line because at first, when I started doing the big eyes, it was sort of this existential of how clowny do I want to be? How pretty do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've now found a good balance where it's still a signature look, but again...
Well, whatever the green thing was you posted recently, it was just that. It was exactly that. It was that anime with the clean lines, but also not paint by number. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And I find that a lot of girls have an issue with looking like they're painted by number when they start, you know?
See, I think it's beautiful to look painted. And looking painted doesn't
oh,
mean you
yeah.
have to look like a clown or that you have to
No,
look...
but I mean paint by number where there's not blending where it should be
oh,
and the
right.
fucking white dot in the middle of the lip and I'm like,
right.
just blend it out just a little bit, girl.
Just
a
little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Just
but see, you can blend but still look painted.
Yes,
and there's
yes,
a beautiful
yes, yes.
there's a beautiful
yes.
fine line there
right.
that I love to be on.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Not natural.
Not
That's
natural
it.
At
We're
all.
Not
natural.
Going for natural.
Well some
right.
some girls like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Some of us, don't barely wear makeup at all, and I don't
understand. Yeah, I just like a
Chopstick
little...
Chopstick and mascara.
I like a little gloss on the lips. I like a little color around the eye, and that is it. And if you follow me on Instagram,
you
that that
tell.
Is correct.
That's it.
And that's not a bad thing either.
No.
Like,
yeah.
I, I just want it to be theatrical.
Well, what is so great about drag, and it's something we've come to learn, is that it can be anything you want it to be.
Yes.
I can't
feel my face.
Today's episode is brought to you by Drag My City. To find out the schedule of all your favorite drag performers and links to their social media sites, download the Drag My City app today. Free on all iPhone and Android devices. It's the easiest way to stay connected to your favorite drag stars. For so long, we were stuck in a rut of, we're character actors, singers, comedians, and we're not drag queens.
Right.
And kind of, it was my limited knowledge of drag. You know, I had never seen drag like we were doing it.
Right.
But as the years went on and...
We're seeing more and more.
We're seeing more and more. We saw Sharon Needles win Drag Race and we saw Jinx win Drag Race and, you know, just different outside of the box type of performers under the umbrella of drag. We were like, oh, wait a minute.
It encompasses so much.
Oh my God. And it was like, once I realized that, I'll speak for myself. Once I realized it, it was like this big curtain had opened up, this weight off of me. Like, it was so freeing to understand that, oh my God, Anita can be whatever the hell I want her to be.
Right.
And it's so, it's such a gift, I think, to have that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you've never, men, even women, if you've never put on some high stilettos and some flashy lipstick and a wig, do it.
You must.
Do it. You have to do it. There's something freeing about it.
Something very freeing. Yes. And I love all kinds of queens and kings.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, kings are great too.
There's some I'll be honest, some I don't understand. There's some that I really can't wrap my mind around.
Right.
And there's some that I'm like, I can't understand how someone's making money doing this.
Right.
But that's just my own personal, what I like. I can respect.
Everyone has their own understanding of what queendom is and kingdom is and, like, what constitutes a polished entertainer, right? So, mm-hmm. like, it's always a thing of constantly understanding different styles.
So, do you have any weekly gigs as it is now?
No, I just kind of float around.
Uh-huh. So, what tip would you give, I'm asking to find out your thoughts on getting gigs and guest spots. I think guest spotting is really important to leading into getting your own gigs.
Right.
What was your path like in getting guest spots and performing regularly?
Well, and I'm sure there's an equivalent anywhere you are where there's a drag scene, but mm-hmm. I did Star Search when I started out. So that was a way to just kind of do a number, do a look, see what works. I still haven't won Star Search, but that's because I haven't gone a long time. Mm-hmm. But that was the most important thing. And I met Frosty Flakes at Star Search.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I really liked your numbers, creative, you have a lot of potential, etc. So she had me do her show at Boots. She had me do her show at Stonewall.
Oh, nice.
And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Uh-huh.
I kept doing the Boots and Saddle competitions.
Good for you.
All that sort of stuff. And it was, and then towards the end of the summer, I did my first Look Queen. I placed second or third in the Look Queen pageant, and then the next month I won. So that sort of became, and then once I got on Tumblr's Drag Race, things started becoming a little more refined, a little more polished.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then my first kind of mini like moment of like, oh wow, I'm really feeling like a part of the community was like December, January, when I started working a lot with So You Can Drag Girls, and just like I was just meeting more people. I got to start performing in Brooklyn. So I would say a really important thing is, be engaged in the community. Keep your ear to the ground. Go and see shows. Go and meet people.
Yeah.
Because there are queens out there who want to support new girls.
Yeah.
And I think if you have the right attitude, meaning if you're not arrogant, if you're not a douche, if you're not a drunk.
Yeah.
Some tea right there, because I actually don't really drink a lot during my shows, if at all.
Yeah.
Then people will respond well to you. And if you have and if you have the work ethic and the talent.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's all about. And I love what you're saying here, because it's about showing up is really what it is. And I think
no one ever knocked on my door and said, hey, do this.
Yeah.
For some people, they kind of fall into it.
Sometimes
for me, I made a conscious decision that said, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to learn. I'm going to, you know, and have a great time. And so I think it was about sticking with it. And also just being a part of the community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And showing up.
And eventually you'll find that people, more and more people will respond to you and you'll become more and more a part of that.
Yeah. Because it's so easy to get stuck in, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do next. And getting out of the house and making it happen. And, you know, you could live in the most remote area, right? Well, throw your wig on, girl. Or whatever the equivalent for you may be, and get on YouTube and show the world whatever it is your passion may be, right?
Yeah.
Because you have such the world is at your fingertips with the interwebs.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing about Tumblr's Drag Race is that it gives a lot of queens who don't have a local scene a chance to work on themselves and to perform and to, to put together looks. And so that's the other beautiful thing of it.
We were posted on some drag queen Tumblr, but it was like, it was like worst drag queens or like ugliest drag queens or something like that. And I was like, oh, well, we've made it. We made it.
Well, we made it when you're on somebody's ugliest drag queen list.
Oh, that's the other thing. I think it was around like November that I had my first hater. So I was like, okay, that's great. And I was like, well, come, bitch.
Well, I think you have, what's the word? I just lost it. Polarizing.
Definitely.
Look, like,
definitely.
Because it's so... this is the wrong vocabulary. I want to say out there, but it's not out there. It's not what the first thought is of drag.
Of course.
And we went through that too. And I think it's so commendable for you to do that and throw yourself to the sharks because that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing it because you love it despite what anybody else thinks.
It's an out-of-the-box look at drag, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not because I want to... I'm doing it for the sake of doing it. I love doing it.
Right.
That's the thing, is that I couldn't really see myself looking like everybody else because, to me, a big part of, like, what made it fun was about being different and, like, you have to be...
Yeah.
You have to, like...
Also a way to brand yourself.
That's the other thing, too, is that as I kind of... It's still happening today. Like, the branding is becoming much more defined, but it's also becoming so much broader as I build different skills.
Right.
Like... You know, a year ago, I couldn't really have pulled off that kind of stunt makeup look that I did on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So now, but now that I have the skills, I have the raw materials, the makeup itself, the more you invest in drag, the more skills you build and the more opportunities you get.
Is there one makeup product that you feel like, oh my God, I could never live without? Like, what is the, like, okay, take away everything I have except for this one thing, and you can replace it with anything else, but I just need this one thing.
Oh, the white eyeliner, of course.
Oh. What do you use?
So I actually use a really cheap white pencil, and then I use white eyeshadow.
Because I cannot get white to stick on my waterline at all.
It's, yeah, so that's the thing, is that I use the pencil to get right
on
in that
line.
Little
See,
nook and cranny.
I can't get it to stick for me. I've tried so many different, my eyes water like a bitch.
Right.
And that has to be why, but, like, I can't get white to stay.
Yeah.
The only thing I can get to stay is, like, this blue Kohl pencil from MAC, and it's really soft.
Yeah.
And I think because it's a deep, like, blue color.
Right.
It sticks, but the white just kind of goes. Yeah. I can't get it to stay.
Well, white is hard to stay.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, that,
hard.
So
like,
that's the thing, is that I have to. I don't do this anymore, but I would kind of do the rest of my face, like foundation, contour, blend, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then go back and do it. Now I just kind of do the outline of it, make sure that the shape is right, and then go over with the eyeshadow and it's set.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So for those who haven't seen Erica Clash. She does these big, like, white anime eyes.
And I stack the lashes. So I have two pairs of top lashes that are stacked on top of each other. And then I have two pairs of...
Bottom
lashes that are kind of one after the other. So they're not stacked on top, but they're next to each other.
Oh, uh-huh. And they go on, like, your high cheekbone.
So they go, like, right here. And
oh,
then
I see.
Up the way. And then
mm-hmm.
a huge, like, wing.
Uh-huh.
So interesting.
How do you contour out, or how do you... How do you get rid of the natural shape of your eye? You cover your brow.
I definitely do cover my brows
uh-huh.
for the gods.
Yeah.
I go and I do maybe like four layers. So I
yeah,
do
yeah,
two
yeah.
layer, one layer, let it dry, another layer, let it dry, powder, and then again.
I was teaching a makeup class recently, and I've taught regular makeup, but this was specifically about drag.
Right.
And so. I was using Steven as my model.
Hello.
And we did the whole contouring, highlighting, all that jazz, you know, the glitter and the eye and outlining
yeah.
the eye and the
yeah.
white on the water, all that, like the typical like drag stuff. And, but because I don't cover my brow, I can't say that I'm the pro at covering the brow, but I know how to do it and I've done it a couple times myself. So we were doing it on Steven. I was like, yeah, it'll, you know, you could do like four layers of the glue. And for our listeners who may not cover brows regularly, drag queens use glue sticks to cover their eyebrows.
Yeah, I use purple Elmer's glue
yes,
stick.
Yes, purple
exactly.
Elmer's glue stick. And the purple dries clear, so you know that it's dry. So anyway, I was like, well, just do two layers on Steven and it'll be fine. It was not fine.
It wasn't
I was
fine.
So freaking embarrassed. It was so, like, cakey and gross. And I was like,
So I actually go along the grain. Tara Grenade, who's actually my drag mother, she taught me, or she just turned me onto that technique, and it works so much better than going up and brushing.
Yes, because I think that that makes it worse.
It makes it worse.
I have a feeling it does.
It totally does. It totally does.
Unless maybe you do have very bushy eyebrows, and possibly you may want to, like, go against and then go toward and then move it and then shift it. You know, it's possible that you then may smooth it out better. But if you don't have that crazy of an eyebrow, you then may be just able to go across.
And I would advise definitely cleaning up the shape of your brows. So don't tweeze them away.
Mm.
But do definitely have a defined shape because there's just, you know, if someone's looking at you here and you're in the light, they're going to see the little strands that didn't get covered because your eyebrows, you know, blending into your eyelashes. You know,
here's another tip for that, right? Before Travis tells you one of his beauty tricks that make me look so freaking gorgeous, let me tell you about Audible. Audible.com is amazing. I tell you, my good friend Kathy Abernathy tells me she puts on Audible books when she's at the gym. She gets lost in the story, and before she knows it, her time on the elliptical is over. Seriously, she says with Audible, she doesn't even think about how many more minutes she has left in her workout. She's actually started enjoying her exercises, which is good because she's practically the size of a house. And if Kathy can do it, you can do it too. And to help you out, Audible is offering the House of Mimosa podcast listeners a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook of your choice. Just go to audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast. It's that simple. Choose from over 180,000 audio programs, including Lena Dunham's Not That Kind of Girl, Bedwetter by Sarah Silverman, Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling, and more. Get started today. Go to audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast. And believe me, if Kathy Abernathy can do it, any idiot can do it.
Oh,
you know,
here's
whatever
another tip for that, right? So anything shiny catches the light. So I've always outlined my lips way outside the line, which a lot of queens do.
Mm.
But it's kind of become a signature of Anita's.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned that the lipstick has to be matte because a gloss will – the ridge of your lip catches the light. And so it's easier to see the real lip shape.
Right.
Then yeah.
Yes.
So if you're outlining
if you're
outside
too
of your
far,
lip, yeah. If you go way outside the lip line, use a matte lipstick, and
mm.
it helps.
Good to know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. Okay, so white eyeliner, very important.
Yes.
You're guest spotting.
Yes.
Do you have another job on top of drag?
Yeah. So right, I just graduated from school.
Because you're very smart.
I am.
Yes.
Yes.
I am very smart.
Which we can't say
just,
for a lot of queens like Gina Marie here.
Oh.
Well, that's the other thing is I think,
know, right?
I think, yeah, there's a lot of queens who, I don't want to sound like a bitch, but there are queens out there who don't really
have. You
can
sound like a bitch. Nobody listens to this. Nobody listens to this.
They don't, but they don't really, they're not really well educated on the theatricality of drag. I think to some people it's what they know from Drag Race.
Yes.
Looking,
yes.
It's
looking
very
pretty. It's looking, and I think you have to really be well educated and, well read on like what it is that you're doing.
Right. And that is something that I think, you know, Drag Race is such an amazing thing and has brought drag so far into the forefront and has made it so mainstream. I think more so than even RuPaul ever thought it could
oh, totally.
Be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also created, I mean, I can't believe how many queens we've met recently that are what they call Drag Race babies.
Right.
Inspired
yes.
by Drag Race.
Right.
Because now it's going into its eight, so it's 8 years now drag. So 8 years ago you were, what?
I was 14.
Yeah. So my
I was graduating from middle school.
So, yeah. So there's Drag Race babies, right? That don't necessarily know a lot about the culture or, there. You know, there's something so great about drag becoming mainstream and something so great about gay equality and how really now, like when we moved to New York, we were talking about this recently, when we moved to New York, Chelsea was like the gay place.
Right.
Like you went there and it was like going to Fire Island.
It was
right.
a Mecca.
Where like every, you know, all the gays were there and people holding hands and, you know, public displays of affection and the gay bookstore.
It was where you could go to feel
so comfortable.
Part
and
of
open.
The scene.
Right.
Yeah.
And now as we become more, equal. I don't know. It feels so weird to say that. But now that it's, you know, there's all this equality and everything's kind of equal, there's really no. I find that doesn't exist anymore unless you go to like P Town or
Fire Island.
Right.
Yes. And it's kind of the same for drag in that people are just doing drag to do drag and don't know the culture, the LGBT culture that went into drag and why drag kind of. What that means to the LGBT community and how
it established itself.
Yeah,
yeah,
and,
right.
You know, and I love. We went and saw Alaska the other night in her show here in New York City called The Gayest Show You've Ever Seen, and she did. It was really great. If you get a chance to see it, see it. She did a section on the Golden Girls. She did a section on Joan Crawford, Judy Garland,
right.
B. Arthur.
Right.
All these
the
like
quintessential gay,
classics, right? And you know, it's sad to me. Like I was talking to one of the servers who works at our brunch here, who is your age, and I was like, "What were we? I don't remember what we were talking about." But I was like, "God, I love Mel B. Isn't Mel B beautiful?" And he was like, "Who?" And I was like, "Scary Spice." And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Scary Spice of the Spice Girls." And he was like.
Who?
Well, I know the Spice Girls. I don't know them individually. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, God.
I'm like, Scary Spice. Oh, my God. I can't. I was like, how old are you? And he's like, 21. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, but see, even I know that.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But there are certain, you know, gays
and certain people
that are in tune to things that are happening around them.
And some that are not.
The history of it.
This is why we said this on a recent podcast.
Yes.
That Paris is Burning has to be shown in schools.
It should be.
It's such a part of gay culture and gay history and how you know, we didn't have to live that way, but, you know, the few generations before us, how they had to live and be underground and have these balls and... balls.
well, I mean, don't we have balls all the time?
Yeah.
Yes.
I certainly do.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. So, yeah. But I don't remember why we're talking about that. We're talking about drag and culture.
I think there are a lot of queens out there who just do what feels good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or just as a culture in general, we're a culture of doing things that feel good, but
right.
that we're not really educated about.
Right.
So I think the queens need to step it up, know what they're doing, know why they're doing it.
You know what I don't see anymore? No more Mommy Dearest stuff.
Stop.
Or Baby Jane.
Well, you haven't seen
like...
my Mommy Dearest.
Oh, I know I haven't. I need to.
I don't do like a...
Okay.
I in the mix, I'm playing Christina Crawford when she's getting slapped.
Yes.
And the kind of climax of the mix is the wire hangers. Mm-hmm. And I get slapped. There's what
uh-huh.
one soundbite of her going like... Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, so it's like doing that like 20 times in a row and I'm doing this and then, you know, just getting
yes.
slapped. Because I love Mommy Dearest.
Oh my God.
I love it dearly.
Who doesn't?
And
yeah.
I think that movie totally made like...
Well, there's so many other...
The consciousness of Joan Crawford is totally...
It's a cult classic.
Due to that
too.
Movie.
And there's so many other like, you know, old campy media that is like lost on, I think, some of these Drag Race babies who I love and appreciate and respect. But I miss the old... In fact, and it's funny, in me saying that, I'm just thinking to myself how we're... Our show, you know, we started very campy, very
right.
campy.
Very campy.
And now we're trying to
mix it
streamline
all up.
It,
yeah.
polish it, and show that we also have a fierce side. Like,
yeah.
we can be funny and campy, but we can also do, you know, Madonna's Girl Gone Wild and a high kick and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
turn my hair around.
But that's
you know?
The beautiful thing is that, again, as you define better what your art is,
yeah.
the more skills you're going to have and the more applications you're going to have for that brand.
Exactly.
So that's been my thing, is that I don't want to feel like, I want to have a very specific, like, I want people to know who I am. When they, you know, when they say my name or when they, you know, mention, oh, she's the girl that does Princess Peach.
Right.
You know, I want that.
Yes.
But I also want to constantly try new things and like
well, I will tell
within
you,
that, within that definition of what I love to do.
Yeah. I will tell you that branding is a great thing. Great thing.
Beautiful thing.
But when you get to the point where you're like, I want people to also see that I can do this other stuff.
And take me seriously as well.
Forget it, girl.
I know. It's very hard.
So we walk in to do events somewhere, whatever, and, you know, other queens will be there, and it's like, oh, it's the Mimosa Girls, and they don't even know, like, what our character names are. They just
or
like,
they
Mimosa
say,
girls.
It's the Brunch Girls.
Right.
And we're like, really?
Yeah.
Right.
The Brunch Girls?
No, that's hard, too, because,
it's
again,
hard.
Doing something that's a little different, it's very easy to not be taken as seriously, and I've definitely felt that sometimes, where... in New York City, there's this prevailing brand of drag that does really well and gets a lot of exposure. And it's challenging because on the one hand, see, I'm not the kind of person that is cliquish or really depends on any one other person.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the drag community is that, you know, you're going to be friends with someone who has a gig. They're going to give you the gig over
right.
me, you know?
Right.
So that's a challenging piece of it is that... people tend to flock together
right.
in certain ways. And I don't really
that's
have
that's
or want to
too,
flock.
Yeah.
It's not really about where the talent is. It's just about flocking together and kind
well,
of
and
creating
right.
relationships.
And
there
are girls who are handed gigs, who are talented.
Right.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
You know, but it's the sort of thing where it's very easy to clock when these things happen because it's just obvious.
Yeah.
And you know, you feel like you have to work harder. You feel like you have to... prove yourself. It's like you have to do you, but you also have to do all these other things to sort of fulfill the benchmarks of what a drag queen is.
Right.
Yes.
Or at least a drag queen that's sellable
right.
in the mainstream market of New York City drag, you
right.
know?
So you went to school for writing.
Playwriting.
And you are a playwright.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see Erica Clash and your playwriting ever working together, coexisting as one?
Well, my thesis script was about four drag queens working at a dive bar,
uh-huh.
competing against each other. So, there
when
was
do I
that.
Get to start?
Yeah, when can we put that on?
Hello.
Girl?
So there's that, and then I'm kind of trying to figure out what my next project is going to be. So there are two ideas that kind of maybe could have some drag in it. One is sort of like a Sailor Moon-ish kind of parody. Another one is more of like a personal, you know, sentimental drama. So I don't know yet, but yeah, definitely I would love to, this is the other thing is that I'm a big admirer of Charles Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, after my first year at NYU, I actually got to work with him on an unrelated, non-drag related project, because I was interning somewhere. But he's a big inspiration to me, Varla Jean Merman. I mean, these are, again, queens that the Drag Race babies may not know about, but should.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's so important to really respect and be aware of drag that exists outside of Drag Race.
Yeah.
Outside of the club system, even.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Varla Jean Merman is a big, Coco Peru is a big inspiration to me.
Yes.
So I would love to kind of do that someday.
Yeah.
Where I'm doing a show in a theater, you know, and just unabashedly campy, unabashedly crazy.
Well, I'm really interested to see what that does and what you do with that, because I can imagine how being a playwright and the structure of how your brain must work to write works really well for a drag character.
Definitely.
For your performances.
Definitely. And I look at my mixes as 4-minute theater pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, I'm a mix girl. I don't really just do songs. I like to do mixes. I like to have storytelling. I like to have surprises and different things. So that's definitely, I always feel like I'm writing when I'm putting together a mix.
That's great.
And it's, again, I mean, it's the same, you know, same idea of storytelling DNA. You need a good structure. So I know the kind of the technical side of that.
Yeah. So where do you see Erica Clash going in the next couple of years? What do you envision?
I envision, hopefully, Drag Race someday.
Mm-hmm.
But I envision really capturing and being a part of this market of cosplay. And
do you go to
Comic-Con?
Yes.
Comic-Con, yeah.
My pseudo manager and I have just approached New York Comic Con. We're still waiting to hear back.
Okay.
But I was also booked for Flame Con, which was the gay Comic-Con.
I saw that. That was so cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So that
was like,
great.
Do they make a plus size Wonder Woman costume? Because I will get it and I will go there.
Yeah, and it was a great day. So I was booked for the after party, but then I also got free tickets to the expo.
That's
so
cool.
I was there for like 14 hours in full face.
Ooh, girl.
Wow.
Been there.
Because I count full face when I like put my foundation on.
Yeah,
like 8 in the morning to like, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night,
at
I was
night.
In face. So it was crazy. But it was so much fun because I got to turn all these looks. So I want to do that. I want to travel. I have some travel stuff coming up. I'm going to be going to, well, I'm one of the Goodwill ambassadors for the Austin Drag Festival.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Austin International Drag Festival. So I'm going to do that. I have some stuff coming up in Colorado. I'm going to be going to East Hampton, Massachusetts in August. So I want to take Erica and travel and do the Comic-Con and do all this sort of stuff.
Good for you.
I would love to build up my hosting skills.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've gotten the opportunity to host like two brunches.
Okay.
At Pulperia. I was filling in for someone doing
nice.
A brunch. And I think I have potential with that. It's just another skill that I need to build. And once I can do that, then I can start pitching my own shows to places.
Uh-huh. Good for you.
So that's really what I want to do. I want to really be firmly rooted here in New York. Or if I end up going somewhere else, who knows, you know, where my life will take me.
Well, but I really, really respect the fact that you have the understanding of the work that you need to do
and put
to
in.
Get
yes.
to where you want to go.
Yes.
I really respect that because I think a lot of people... you know, we live in a generation where we're told we're so great by our parents for so long that we kind of are delusional of the things that we need to do to really become great.
Oh, tell me about it, girl. I mean, going to NYU was an exercise in dealing with these people.
Well, I'm just glad I had a mentally abusive and emotionally abusive mother.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm
my,
kidding.
Yeah,
she's
well,
listening. I'm kidding. I'm making a joke.
But I grew up with a mom who held us to a high standard as young people. And that really was really what got us through a lot of the negative things of where I grew up. I grew up in inner city New York City. You know, a lot of kids don't end up being successful or doing what they love to do because they fall into a lot of the negativity.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's just my attitude is always kind of have myself looking towards the next thing of what is the next skill, sewing, hosting a gig.
Yes.
Et cetera. So all these things are on the horizon. It's just a matter of dollars.
Yes.
Dollars.
It's a matter of
time.
Making time.
Yep. I'm so glad we had to have you here. And I know it seems like it goes so fast. Where can people find out more about you?
So you can find me on Facebook. I have a profile and an official page. So facebook.com/erica.clash. Instagram, Erica Clash. Tumblr, Twitter.
And it's Erica with a K.
Erica
and
with a
Clash
K. Clash
with a K.
Yeah. Yeah, and look out for me at the Austin International Drag Festival.
I love that. When is that?
That is, I can send you the exact date, but it's late. It's the end of last weekend in April.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe like, so April 20th to May 1st or something. It's a Thursday through Saturday this year. And so we're going to be doing some really exciting fundraisers for all the girls who are going to the Drag Fest. And in terms of upcoming gigs... I'm going to be at Battle for Invasion at Stonewall Inn. So all the finalists from Miss Abracadabra got the opportunity to kind of compete for an invasion in 2 weeks.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I'll be doing that. And yeah, keep an eye open for all my cosplay.
I love it.
All my cosplay looks, my gamer makeup looks.
I love it. You're delightful, and I'm so glad we got to have you here. And if I could tell my early 20-something self anything, it would be, don't wait for anyone. Go out there and get it, and you're already doing that.
Make it happen. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to finish recording because we're going to talk some tea and some shade.
We're going to.
We love it.
I get so excited, but like I don't like to talk about these things in public.
No. I ain't one to gossip.
One last thing about branding is I'm very selective about what I put on social media.
Yes. Mm.
So you won't find me shading anybody else on Facebook.
No.
Of course.
I keep my opinions to myself. And I treat everyone with respect.
If you want to talk bad about someone, sit next to me, but don't put it on the internet.
Oh, see, I'm all for kikiing with someone that I trust and
exactly.
Between whom there's mutual respect.
Well, listen, don't trust me to hang you over a balcony because I might not hang on.
Okay.
But you can trust me to talk some shade and some tea.
And on that note, children's,
yes.
Off we go.
Thank you guys
so much.
Thank you.
Please make sure you subscribe to our YouTube because not only are we working hard here in our podcast, which you, I hope, are subscribed to through iTunes. We're working very hard on our podcast channels. Just search Sunday Morning Mimosa and Buffum Beautiful. Those are our two channels that we are feverishly working on. And please share this podcast with somebody that you love or hate or just...
Or indifferent towards.
Or indifferent towards. Just share. And we love your feedback, really. Take a second to go to the iTunes page. And you can write a quick little review that really does help us out a lot. So thanks again to Erica Clash. We love you guys. This has been the House of Mimosa, the podcast. You've been listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast, brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/HOM podcast for a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook of your choice. This week's episode produced and edited by Travis Barr. Guest segment produced by Steven and Kamisha, with music curated by DJ Anita B. For a full list of the music played, check out the description in this week's episode. Subscribe to our podcast by searching House of Mimosa in iTunes and click subscribe. And while you're there, why not write a fan review? Want to see us? Check out our YouTube channels, Sunday Morning Mimosa and Buffum Beautiful. And as always, you can find out more at thehouseofmimosa.com.
Motherfucker.